Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5, WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. Our guest today is Republican Chris Shea, who is running in Connecticut's 5th Congressional District to unseat Democratic incumbent Johanna Hayes. Chris is going to join us for what is going to be largely an introductory interview on his campaign, perhaps for people who have not heard him before or haven't heard much of him at this point in this election year. Chris, welcome to the show. It's good to have you on.
Hey, thanks. Thanks so much, Morgan.
Chris, tell everybody a little bit about you. This might be the first time our audience is hearing from you. It might be the first time someone's listening. Who are you?
Right. Well, so I'm Chris Shea. I'm a retired Navy SEAL. I'm a current fire lieutenant in North Haven, Connecticut, and I'm a veteran nonprofit founder. And with my constituency's help, I'm going to be their next congressman in the 5th District.
What made you decide this is the time? This is when I want to run for office?
That's a good question. So, you know, you said want. That's an interesting word. I'm not sure that I wanted to do it. I felt more compelled to do it. You know, I felt like looking around, seeing, you know, first of all, the field that we had running for the 5th District, I was not, didn't seem that we had some legitimate candidates. And, you know, after spending a bunch of time down in D.C. at the Pentagon, you know, kind of seeing how our government works from the inside and knowing what you could and couldn't do. I have ideas about how I want to see the country for my kids and my grandkids, if I'm blessed to have them. And I figure you can be that guy who's like, Clint Eastwood, get off my front lawn, or you can get in the game and do something about it.
Now, how long have you been in Connecticut, or what is your background here in the state?
Born and raised in Connecticut. I was born in Waterbury, Waterbury Hospital. Grew up till I was 7 in Waterbury, then moved to Watertown. Went to Holy Cross High School in Waterbury. That's my wife is and I re-met at our 20-year high school reunion, and my second wife. So I've been in the area the only time. I've been in the area my whole life, except for when Uncle Sam had other plans for me.
Could you talk a little bit about your time serving the country? I know that that's something that you're very proud of. I know that that's experience that you bring to the table in your campaign. What should our listeners know about that time in your life? And by the way, thank you for it.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was an honor to serve, and I only wish I had more time there with the boys. But I was a Navy SEAL for 31 of the 33 years I was in the Navy. I joined in 91 and I finally retired, and they kicked me out the door in 2024, the beginning of it. I went to Buds to become a CEO, was a SEAL Team 8 back in the day. I came off active duty, went into the reserves for a while, and then obviously everybody knows what happened with 9/11. I thought I was going to get pulled back in sooner, but got pulled back in 2007. It's my first trip to Afghanistan, and then did it again in 2011. I was with the other troop from when extortion, August 6th, when we lost the helicopter. I was with the other half of that troop. I was augmenting Damneck. And then I went to down to Mexico for a bit, worked at the embassy there, and trained the fellows that got El Chapo. Did that for a couple years, and then got the opportunity to go back on active duty one more time, and did a little over 5 years at the Pentagon doing resourcing for the SEAL teams and expeditionary warfare. And those are, so like, I work for the two-star general that does all of the like Marine carrying ships, the SEAL teams, EOD, and the Seabees. So we did the resourcing for all that stuff. And that was where I kind of got the first peek at how the government works or doesn't. And how you could get stuff done, how you could actually affect things and move things around on. And it was my military constituency at the time, but do stuff on their behalf. And it was actually very intriguing and a lot of pride to be able to like do things for folks way down the line. You know, I remember coming in as an enlisted guy, you know, complaining about what kind of boots I got or whatever, and then being all the way at the other end, you know, being like, oh, wait a minute, this is how this gets paid for, and this is how we make, how we advocate to Congress for what we want and get it done. So that's kind of where the first spark came of, hey, if these guys can do this, I think I could do this too. So that's kind of where the seeds were planted a little bit.
Very interesting. And now he is Chris Shea, Republican 5th Congressional District candidate here in Connecticut, looking to unseat Democratic incumbent Johanna Hayes. Chris, if there's any one particular top line issue for you as we get into this election season and this election year, what would it be? What would your top line issue be?
You know, it's funny. There's so many issues. It's, you know, I mean, everybody's, you know, ranting and raving about cost. I mean, we don't need to go very deep to talk about Eversource and our the pains we all feel here in the state of Connecticut. You know, I think we need to get serious about that, getting gas into the state, either through that pipeline or cleaning out New Haven Harbor so they can get the liquefied natural gas in there. I think we need to get serious about nuclear. I mean, for crying out loud, the Navy, the case study's been done, right? We have those things in aircraft carriers and submarines for 50, 60 years now. And the technology is not Three Mile Island technology. So that would be a big thing I'd love to poke my nose into and see how we can push that along. You know, but I think the more important thing, and I say this when I stump often, is like, hey, this election's going to come down to trust, right? And often candidates are out there trying to earn people's trust, right? And they're like, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you can trust me. The thing about me, which is makes this candidacy a little different, is people in the state of Connecticut have already trusted me. They've already trusted me to go overseas and fight for our freedoms in the face of our enemies. They've already trusted me as a firefighter and a paramedic with their lives and the lives of their loved ones, you know, here at home, you know, running calls in downtown Waterbury and all over the state. They've already trusted me. Like I said, I worked in the Pentagon. I moved around billions of dollars on your guys' behalf to make sure that our troops had what they needed to pull off the kind of amazing missions that they did on Easter morning and bring our boy back home. I mean, so it's, I think this is going to come down to who are the citizens of the 5th District and the state and whatever writ large going to trust to go down there on their behalf and advocate for their needs. And I think I've already demonstrated, I've raised my hand both in the service and the fire department multiple times, getting advanced and making rank, you know, swearing to uphold and defend. And I think I've kept those promises pretty well. And I think it gives me a leg up on a lot of other folks trying to earn trust. I think we've already, you know, by default earned a lot of trust.
You talked a little bit about going on the stump and you're looking to make sure that you've secured the trust of the people of the 5th District. And when I think about Connecticut, it's such a small state, Chris, but the 4th District is radically different than the 2nd District and so on. And the 5th District is unique in a number of ways. As you travel the district, what are you learning about that particular quarter of the state, the northwestern quarter of the state, and its residents and their needs?
Well, it's funny, you know, growing up there in Watertown and in Litchfield County, you know, very familiar with a lot of it already. And, you know, and boxing in downtown Waterbury and North Main Street and back in the day as well. It's like I've been around a lot of it. And I also, not to digress, but I had a handyman business. So I spent time in people's houses all over the district and meeting folks. But it is a very diverse district. I mean, you know, downtown Waterbury is a very different place than Salisbury, Connecticut, right? So it's very intriguing to meet people and see what their needs are around this or the things that they're concerned about and want somebody to go down to D.C. and advocate on their behalf. And I've also learned I picked the perfect spot, you know, southern Cheshire, when I moved back from the Pentagon to buy a house, because it's the farthest point in the district to get to places like Salisbury. But if that answers your question or not.
Well, it does, and I'm actually glad that you mentioned Salisbury, Because if we go back 4 years, the election between Johanna Hayes, again, Democratic incumbent, and her then Republican challenger, George Logan, there was something very interesting in that race in 2022, and that was the race was focused on Salisbury because those results from that town were the last to come in, and they actually decided the outcome of the election when Hayes had a very tight lead, winning over Logan by 1,842 votes. Isn't that incredible? And then 2 years after, in 2024, she beat Logan by about 23,000 votes. So my question is, it has been tight there, especially 4 years ago, but even so 2 years ago. Why is that in your view, and how can you, in your campaign, take advantage of that?
But it's interesting. You know, I think I'm going to go back to the trust line. I think I have a, a unique background. George was a great guy, a nice guy. I met him a few times. But I think we bring some things that people automatically have trust in. You know, everybody loves firemen, right? Because we come when people need stuff and we, you know, take care of things that they're usually really need us to take care of. You know, Navy SEALs have a pretty good reputation for taking care of the country and doing the hardest and toughest jobs that need to be done on behalf of our citizenry. And so I think it gives me a leg up there, and we're going to make sure that we get in front of as many people as humanly possible between now and November 3rd. You know, shake hands, talk to them, at you know, see what they are looking for in their congressperson, you know, make the case that we can do a better job and have better constituent services and show up, you know, for people in the district. And that's the case we're going to make.
Chris, one of the interesting challenges that came about those two races for George Logan was that he kept being asked about where he stood on President Trump, and he never gave a very clear answer. He eventually kind of did, but that was a problem for him in his campaign. However, I will point out that here we are in 2026, and although the Trump question may still be valid, but you're looking at what's going to be a different Congress very soon. The president is going to be ending his second term in 2 years. You're going to be looking at a Washington that eventually moves beyond the Trump factor. How does that play into your campaign?
Whatever will the news talk about if Trump is out of the picture? You know, no. Listen, I think it's interesting. You know, you saw that in the Pentagon. It was like, hey, changing administrations, changing ideas, and directions we're moving in. You know, I mean, I'm not running to be President Trump. I'm not running against him. I'm not running for him. I'm running for the 5th District, right? And you know, I'm running on the Republican ticket and on behalf of all the citizens in the 5th District. I'm a policy guy, not a personality guy, so I'm actually largely in support of his policies. You know, I know we can get wrapped up around the personality side, and I'm just not even interested in that. I know that a lot of things under other administrations, you know, our recruiting numbers under the last administration, and I saw this firsthand, we're in the tank. Now there's like waiting lists to get in the military. And they have this administration, love them or hate them, has refocused the Department on War of what their job is to do. And that's to put warheads on foreheads, as we say, or have the threat to be able to do that to promote peace, right? To keep people from messing, the Russians and the Chinese and fill in the blank, messing with us. So I think morale is really good. I actually was down last night in New York City. I'm actually in New York City right now because the Navy SEAL Foundation had a benefit dinner, and I got some really great inside information from some of my admiral friends that are still in and, you know, of the recent missions, you know, like Maduro and Iran and things like that. And the military, for my morale, welfare, and believing in the mission standpoint, are in a really good place. Much better than when we sent those 13 kids home in boxes from Afghanistan. That was ridiculous. And we should be ashamed of ourselves for that.
Chris Shea is my guest on Face Connecticut. For those of you just joining me, he is a Republican who is looking to unseat Democrat Johanna Hayes in Connecticut's 5th Congressional District. You talked a little bit about your experience as a Navy SEAL and your perspective on issues involving the Pentagon, Chris, so far in our conversation. And it is not lost on me that recently, given the war and conflict in Iran, that there have been Democratic calls for the War Powers Resolution Acts. There have been calls for impeachment, the 25th Amendment. Where do you stand on those issues?
So here's what I say, and I came out and said this like immediately. I think I was on one of your other WTIC shows, and the thing that's problematic and disappointing about our entire delegation was that they did, it was within hours. They had made a decision on, you know, that this is wrong, what are we doing, and kind of pretending that Iran has not been our enemy for the better part of 50 years. They know better. They know that, for crying out loud, I think it's, and don't quote me on these specific numbers, but something like 80% of the IED, the injuries and deaths from IEDs in Iraq came from Iran, right? I was in Afghanistan one time, and back in the Bush administration, and it was said the Iranians had nothing to do with what was going on in Afghanistan. But then we had bombed a place, and we do a thing called sensitive site exploitation. And it would have been like me dropping one of my Chris Schaefer Congress cards at a Johanna event and then saying I wasn't there. You know what I mean? So we found information like that on a target that had them dead to rights, if you will. So, going back to the Marine Corps barracks, the hostages, they have just been the world sponsor of terror for the longest time. They were getting close on military grade, uranium or what have you. And we can't have these guys that their whole message in life is death to Israel, death to America, having nuclear weapons. It's a non-starter. And for our delegation to jump out in front of that without having the information that the president sees from the Joint Chiefs and the intel community, and to just blab on about that, questioning the legality and the authority of what our troops are doing in harm's way is preposterous. And that's all I have to say. But I could ramble on for quite a while about that, so I won't do it, but I think it's preposterous.
That leads me to kind of the next topic here, because there's been a lot of talk about what could happen in the midterms. Could the House fall to a Democratic majority? Could the Senate maintain the Republican majority there? Or maybe the Republicans keep both chambers or lose both chambers? I mean, it could really go in a number of different directions depending on what you read and how you look at it. But my question to you is this. Let's assume here, and assume nothing, but in this scenario, if you were to be elected in the 5th Congressional District and Republicans lose the House and you're in the minority.
Yes, sir.
How do you work across the aisle? Is there any way to try to get Republican strategies passed through what would be a really tough Democratic wall?
Well, listen, I mean, the thing about it is we're all fighting for America, right? And at the end of the day, Democrats and Republicans need to remember who they worked for. Right. And one of the things that bugged me in the last administration, too, is people rooting for President Biden to fail. And now there's no shortage of people rooting for President Trump to fail. And the thing I like to remind people is hey, if the president fails, that's the leader of our country. That means we've all failed to some degree. Right. And, I'll tell you a quick story. I was able to sit with a couple of congressmen when I was down there in D.C., and, they were opposite sides of the aisle. One's a good friend of mine from the Navy. And the other one was from a very Democratic part of Illinois, in the south side of Chicago type of thing. And got to sit with them, had the privilege of sitting with them and listening to them talk about interstate commerce stuff. Because the one guy had farmers that were trying to sell stuff across state lines into the city grocery stores. And the guy in the city was trying to get food on his grocery store shelves. And it's not sexy. It's never going to make the news. But they were there from opposite sides of the aisle working on things that actually kitchen table issues, if you will, on behalf of their citizenry. So you can bet that that's what I'll be doing. And I was a Navy guy, and I got all sorts of stuff done with my Army counterparts, except for 1 week a year. You're leading up to the game, all bets were off. But other than that, we got a lot of stuff done, you know, with opposite side of the aisle, if you will. And we will continue to do that if I end up in the minority.
What comes next for you and your campaign?
In terms of fundraising or just campaign writ large?
I guess in general. I mean, obviously, you're probably not going to stop fundraising. How are you going to spend that money? How are you going to campaign in your district? I guess everything. What comes next for you?
All the above. Well, the one thing I've heard from a lot of political experts, they give you all sorts of advice that seems to be 180 degrees out from what the other person said. But the one thing that none of them have wavered on is that you need a lot of money to get the message out in a political campaign. And, you know, and we estimate that it's going to be somewhere between $3 and $5 million to get this job done, right? And you know, so we're going to keep pushing hard on that. You know, I go back to my trust issue. You know, which candidate's going to have the trust of people with money to part with their hard-earned dollars to support this effort? You know, we're going to get in the cities. We're going to get in the countryside. We're going to go after. I mean, there's 26,000 veterans in the 5th District, and there's about 8,000 first responders. They all have families and friend networks. I think that, you know, my background is going to be probably the easiest to sell to those guys to get behind and support. And there's also the district is 21% Hispanic, and I speak about fifth grade Spanish. So when and where I can, I will go to my Spanish speaking constituents and speak to them in their language so that they can feel comfortable talking to me. And just so you know, we just got the backing of the Republican Hispanic coalition as well. They endorsed us, and they are standing by to put another army together to get out and get after the Hispanic vote as well. So we're going to hit it from all angles, all sides, leave no stone unturned in every part of the 5th District, and ask for and appreciate people's support and appreciate what they're looking for again in their congressperson.
Chris, is there anything else that our listeners ought to know about you at this point in time? I know that this was kind of a general, overarching, maybe an introductory interview, and I'm sure we'll talk more. What else do they need to know about you, though, in our final moment?
Well, the only thing I'd say is, hey, listen, I'm a career public servant, not a career politician. You know, and I started this out having no idea what I was doing. In 2 out of the 3 months, we did outraise Johanna Hayes, you know, having no clue what we're doing. And we're going to keep pushing hard there. And we are going to, like I said, leave no stone unturned on your behalf. I mean, I'm retired from the military. I get a nice little check from Uncle Sam, and I have a really great job at the fire department. My wife checks my sanity from time to time. I don't need this job for a job. I just feel like I need to do it on behalf of the people because we deserve representation that is representative of the district. And any state that's got all 7 representatives of one color is probably not correctly represented.
I appreciate your time in our conversation on Face Connecticut. That's Republican Chris Shea. Chris, thank you very much for taking some time with me.
Thank you so much, Morgan. I appreciate your time as well.
And I think that we'll be talking some more as the campaign year and election year plays out.
I'm sure you'll be sick of me before November 3rd.
No, I'm not sick of any of you guys. I like it. It keeps me employed.
Yes, good, good, good.
All right.
Excellent. Well, I get it. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. You have a good day.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.